Before God created civil government, he created family. Before he created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Today we remember those men who have died to establish freedom in this nation and to preserve freedom in this nation. We have a great history and a great legacy of people from the early days, even from prior to the American Revolution, and really where you had farmers actually picking up their muskets and going to war. And in one battle that we've recounted here in the past, they ran out of wadding because they didn't have bullets like we have today. They actually had to put the powder and the projectiles and the wadding, and they ran out of wadding, and one pastor brought them hymnals and told them to give them Watts, boys, and that was actually what he was talking about, was to the hymnals. Many of the hymns were written by Isaac Watts, and those hymnals were very useful in that battle. In leading up to the, as the army, the Continental Army, went into Valley Forge for that winter, one of the things, this is an account from The Light and the Glory, as the Continental Army staggered into Valley Forge in December 1777, the state of the troops was beyond despair. George Washington's forces had just endured a string of demoralizing defeats, including the loss of Philadelphia to the British. But worse than their tactical setbacks was the physical torment they now faced. The winter was brutal, and the men were ill-equipped to survive it. Supplies had all but vanished. Food was so scarce that soldiers resorted to boiling their shoes for broth. Blankets were threadbare, if they had them at all, and uniforms were reduced to tattered rags. Yet the most haunting sight was the condition of their feet. Many had no shoes. Others wrapped bloody cloths around frostbitten toes as they marched through the snow. Their footprints left crimson trails, a grim testament to their suffering. "Many of the men left bloody footprints in the snow," wrote one observer, "having marched barefoot or with rags wrapped around their feet. Their suffering was immense, hungry, poorly clothed, and exposed to the bitter cold. Yet they persevered out of the devotion to the cause of liberty, and, as many believed, under the providential hand of God." Washington himself despaired, writing to Congress, "Unless some great and capital change takes place, this army must inevitably starve, dissolve, or disperse." Yet against all odds, they endured through the crucible of Valley Forge. The army was forged into a disciplined fighting force, aided by Baron von Steuben's training and an unshakable belief that divine providence had not abandoned them. And we have today really a need to still fight for this country. And one of the things that is encouraging as we look at this country is that there are people that are signing up to fight for this country in the armed forces. And there's a new optimism among those young men who are joining the forces because they believe, I mean, really, in America, many times when Americans have gone to war, they've actually been restrained from actually fighting to win. And there's a sentiment that we actually need to fight for this nation. And there are people that are joining in the battle for our country. And I want to encourage you today, whether you are actually going to join the Army or the Navy or the Marines or the Air Force, or whether you're already in service, or whether you're just a civilian like me, to fight on behalf of this nation. America needs you to fight. America needs Christians to fight for her survival. It's not good enough to say, well, you know, President Trump can fight, or Governor DeSantis can fight, or my congressman can fight, or my senator can fight, or those who are in the armed forces can fight. Really, one of the things that was critical in the foundation of America, in that actual American Revolution, one of the things that was critical, and one of the things that has been critical throughout the history of this country, was the people, the citizens, actually coming before God in prayer and crying out in repentance. And this is something that definitely we need to actually do. We need to look at. We need to turn from our wicked ways and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that you saw was people crying out to God and repenting of their sin and turning from their wicked ways. And we certainly are in a time today where in America, we need to turn from our wicked ways and we need to serve God. We need to humble ourselves and turn and repent and pray and cry out to God. One of the things that we see when we look at the Bible, when we look at the principles of God's Word, is we actually see that it is very important for a nation to be blessed. It is very important for that nation to honor and uphold the principles of God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11, "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." So the righteous in a city can impact that city. And of course, when you have multiple cities and you have righteous people in multiple cities, that can impact the county and the state and also the nation. But if the wicked rule, if the wicked are in authority, then you actually have the city being overthrown. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." If we as a people want to serve God, if we want to keep His commandments, if we want to keep His precepts, we need to serve Him. We need to honor Him. We need to be righteous. We need to humble ourselves, personally repent of our sins, repent of our sins nationally as well, and turn to God and cry out to Him. We also see, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. This is from Psalm 127, verse 1. "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." It is important, it is incumbent upon us, the church, to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and to seek God's aid on behalf of this nation. We also see in Proverbs 33, verses 12 through 19. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Today, America has the strongest force in the world. We have the most powerful military and the most powerful weapons. But that wasn't the case in the Revolutionary War. In the Revolutionary War, as I mentioned, you had farmers. You had just ordinary citizens that joined, and they knew how to maybe shoot squirrels and such. But then they were actually fighting against a force that was trained and actually a force that was powerful. And that they did not prevail because of their might. They did not prevail because of their skill. They did not prevail because of strategy. They prevailed because of the providence of God and the blessing of God upon this country. And George Washington himself actually called for the troops to humble themselves and pray and seek the face of God and turn from their wicked ways. God warned the children of Israel against sin and against violating his commandments. Remember, the children of Israel were his chosen people. And if any nation was to be blessed, it would be the children of Israel. And they were blessed because they obeyed God. But when they turned from God, they were cursed. And God moved against them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning of verse 9, reading through verse 10, we see, "Only take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God, when the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.'" And so there's an admonition here. Train your children. Don't just assume that your kids are going to follow God. Don't assume that your grandkids are going to follow God. You need to train them and remind them what you've been through. Remind them how God has actually moved, how God has moved for you, and remind them of the commandments of God and what God has instructed you and how God has instructed you to live. And if you do not do this, then God will actually move against you. It was very important for them to obey the precepts of God and to keep his commandments. And we see here, one of the things we need to ask is whether in America we still are a nation whose God is the Lord. Certainly, and there are people certainly today that debate this and claim that America was based on slavery, even though slavery existed all the way throughout the world, and certainly slavery was a sin. We don't want to minimize that one bit, but men actually cried out to God and sought the Lord, and it wasn't even until they started actually exploring the principles of freedom and the principles found in the Declaration of Independence that they started to consider why they were owning other people and that this might be a sin and that they shouldn't actually do this. This was commonplace. But we did, our founding fathers, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, the founding fathers did turn to God in prayer, and God moved on their behalf, and God provided blessings to them because of this. yet when we look at what is happening in America, we have to realize that we have departed from the precepts of God. We have replaced the idea, and this is a true idea, it's a biblical idea, that God created the heavens and the earth, that God created you, that your life is valuable because you're created in the image of God, and that everything in this universe happened because God created it. There was a designer, and that designer was God. And we've replaced that with the idea that everything we see, all the intricacies of what we see, happened by chance. And in fact, there was not even anything. And then somehow there was an explosion, this great bang, and all, everything we see kind of came into being through random mutation and genetic adaption. You see, really, even the smallest cell, we've talked about this, the smallest, most simple cell in our body has actually 8 different functions that had to be there to begin with. Evolution can't do that. Evolution can only do one thing at a time. But we've replaced the idea that God created the heavens and the earth with this idea that everything happened by chance. Out of that, if God is our creator, we are subject to his commandments. We must keep his commandments and his precepts. But if God is not our creator, then we can do whatever we want to do. And everyone can determine their own right, what is right for themselves. Everyone can determine that. And so what we have seen is a departure from God's standards and God's precepts to actually violating his commandments. In 1962, the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, ruled that prayer and actually removed prayer from public schools. In 1963, the Supreme Court removed the Bible, which was the primary learning book. At the time of the Founding Fathers, it was the primary reading book in school. At the time of the Puritans, it was actually the Bible and the New England Primer were what was used to teach kids how to read. And the New England Primer taught them biblical principles. There was a rhyming alphabet that was all about the Bible and taught them about Adam, and taught them about the sin, original sin, taught them about Jesus, and they saw all of this. We actually saw also in the 60s this sexual revolution, the idea that you can do whatever you want to do with whomever you want to do without consequences, yet we know there are consequences. Venereal diseases is one of those consequences. Poverty is another consequence as families are ripped apart and there's no family structure. We also saw one of the consequences is children conceived out of wedlock, children conceived really by accident, people committing deeds that can lead to children without wanting to have the children. And so what you saw is that state after state, and starting in 1967, started allowing abortion. And there were about 5 states that had allowed abortion up until 1973. And then you see Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton that allowed abortion all the way until the moment of birth. And even though the Supreme Court has struck those down, abortion continues to happen. Babies continue to be killed in most states throughout this nation. And in fact, in the state of Florida, babies can still be killed in certain circumstances all the way up until the moment of birth. That's right. The 6-week ban allows abortion all the way up until the moment of birth, not only to protect the life of the mother, and by the way, it's never necessary to purposely kill a preborn child to save the mother's life. Sometimes premature delivery is necessary. And sometimes that happens before the baby can live outside the womb. But the goal there is to save the mother's life. And it is never necessary to rip a baby limb from limb. It's never necessary to slice a baby's arms and legs off and crush her skull. It's never necessary to give a mother medication that will kill the baby, and then other medication that will cause her to deliver a dead baby in her own toilet. That's never necessary to save the life of the mother. But this bill also, and this law also, allows abortion not only to protect the life of the mother, but also the health of the mother. And even the abortionist in a time of emergency can be the doctor that decides that this abortion needs to happen. And it can happen all the way up until the moment of birth. If you don't believe me, read the law. The Florida statutes are on the books and you can read it. You don't have to take my word for it. You can read what the law says and look and see if there's any limitation on the life and health of the mother. We also see that in 1980, the Supreme Court, which has the Ten Commandments on its doors, the Supreme Court actually removed the Ten Commandments from public schools. Also in Lawrence versus Texas, we see the Supreme Court expanded the right of privacy that was created by the Supreme Court in the cases leading up to Roe versus Wade. The Supreme Court actually ruled that would give a right of privacy that includes homosexual marriage or homosexuality. And then also in Massachusetts, Governor Romney, who later ran for president as Republican, and we were told, hey, he's our savior, and all the Republicans need to vote for him. He actually was governor in the state, and the Supreme Court actually ruled that this right to privacy included homosexuality. They actually ordered the state legislature to pass laws to allow homosexual marriage. The state legislature met. They didn't do that because it was a hot potato issue. And what actually happened from that is that the state legislature, or the state legislature again, didn't act. Governor Romney issued an executive order legalizing homosexual marriage. And then in Obergefell versus Hodges in 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court actually ruled against the marriage amendments that had been passed in many states, including liberal states such as California and Hawaii, that in Florida. Florida wasn't necessarily a liberal state, but California and Hawaii were, ruled that homosexual marriage was legal, that one man could marry another man, and one woman could marry another woman. And then we've had this transgender battle as well, where in some states, a child can go to school as a boy or as a girl and come home after having a sex change, and the parents have no say that this actually happens. Under Barack Obama required that schools allow boys to go into girls' bathrooms and vice versa. This is evil. We have seen the results of this. We have seen a rise in sexually transmitted infections. We have seen disgruntled employees killing coworkers, children killing parents, children killing other children, parents killing children. We've seen a rise in storms and natural disasters, which we're told is a part of global warming. But when you look at the Bible, it's one of the ways that God brings his judgment upon a nation that has departed from his precepts and departed from his commandments. We also have seen a rise in terrorism across the world, and also even attacks on our own soil as well. The greatest and most significant attacks that we have seen yet to date. We've seen a breakdown in the American family. And this is really caused by a lack of Christians actually having a biblical worldview, believing what God says in the Bible, proclaiming that word, and actually teaching their children and their grandchildren, and also holding accountable the elected officials. We need to stand up and do what is right, and we need to call our elected officials to do what is right. If we don't turn from our wicked ways and serve the Lord and return to God, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter whether they're fighting for us or not. It doesn't matter how many weapons we have or how sophisticated our planes are, how sophisticated our ships are, how sophisticated our tanks are. And by the way, we are losing ground against some of the other nations on warfare. We need to actually turn back to God, and we need to cry out to Him. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain. By the way, that's not global warming. That's God shutting up the heaven. Or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to cry out to God. We need to seek His face and allow God to work in this nation again. We need to fight on our knees for this nation. And we also need to hold our elected officials, Republican and Democrat, independent as well, accountable to obey the Constitution and follow the Word of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, when the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad, when the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for His law, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Before God created civil government, He created family. Before He created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that, and now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO. Hi, this is Dr. Gerard Curry of Traditional Worship Center in Port St. Lucie. Our program, Extreme Faith, airs on WCNO Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. and again at 7:15 p.m. We are a Word and Spirit church, and not only do we believe in miracle signs and wonders, we experience them as well. According to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can build your faith for your miracle today.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO.